Welcome to another episode of Shady Grove Table Talk. We're so blessed to be here today. We enjoy coming to you each and every time that we're on here. And I'm so blessed to have all my friends and family with me. My friends are my family. And we have a special guest today. And we'll introduce her in just 1 minute. We'll keep you wondering. But first of all, let me introduce you to our table. Over here, we got Miss Connie Dennis.
Hello.
We got Minister Ruby Nam White, Pastor Donna G. Holcomb.
Hey,
I'm used to you being right here. Pastor Lisa Hayes and Pastor Randy Hayes.
Hello.
And we have a special guest today, and it's Miss Dina Lowry.
Yeah.
How are you, Dina?
I'm great.
We haven't been together and ministering in a long time, have we?
True.
Dina, we went to church with Dina how long? 10 years?
Oh, 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. We went to
10 or 11.
Yeah. 10 or 11 years. And when my oldest daughter got married, she had a destination wedding. She got married in Destin, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Dina and Susie,
mm-hmm,
they came down, and Dina played the harp for Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
You want to tell them what happened when you were playing the harp at her wedding?
Well, It was just a glorious event, and the Lord brought the wind across the ocean and started playing the harp, which He has done that before.
Wow.
The Holy Ghost played the harp during her wedding.
Wow.
And then Rochelle, when they were taking her pictures, as the sun was going to set in just a few minutes, looked like the Bride of Christ awaiting the return of the Messiah, Jesus.
Wow.
So it was glorious.
It was very glorious.
Wow.
But Dina, you have been doing some special work, mm-hmm, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start?
1995.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went on your Facebook, and I was looking at a picture. Was you at a going away party? Was you about to do something in 1995? You was in these people's living room?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what I thought.
That was right before I went into the Ukraine,
mm-hmm,
and there were a lot of Ukrainian Jews there.
Oh.
I had ministered to some of them and taught them English.
Mm-hmm.
English as a second language.
Wow.
Here in Birmingham. And then when I got connected to Operation Exodus, this friend of mine, she lives in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Christian. She knew a lot of these same Jewish people. She had a big house in Homewood, and that's where the party was.
Okay, all right.
And it was probably like about half Jews, half Christians there, and it was my going away party.
That's what I thought it looked like. It was something like that.
Mm-hmm. That was 1995.
Wow, that was almost 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started in this, Dina? And tell us what you do, what your organization does.
Operation Exodus is an international organization. Our international headquarters is in Bournemouth, England. Our U.S. office is in Buffalo, New York, and we have offices all over the world now. It was started by my spiritual father, Gustav Scheller, in the late 80s. Previous to that, he was used by the Lord. They helped the Russian Jews, the Refuseniks, to come out. And then he had a worldwide travel agency, and the Lord turned that whole thing into taking the Jews home.
Wow.
And he was, Gustav Scheller was the steward over the International Intercessors in Jerusalem, Israel. They have a big conference every year. They have it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And right before the Gulf War in 1991, he was at the International Intercessors Conference. And they had gas masks on.
Wow.
And the Lord says, son, it's time to take my people home.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
They had 120 people exactly at that conference.
Wow.
Kind of like the 120 in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And this was back in 1991. And they raised $30,000 from those 120 people. And that was the original seed money to start Operation Exodus.
Wow. Now, when you were bringing the Russians, the Jews out of Russia.
Right.
Was it a secretive thing? Was it done undercover? Was it
underground?
Right.
No. We had to, Operation Exodus, our official name is Ebenezer Emergency Fund. Operation Exodus. Operation Exodus is what Americans like it to be called.
Okay.
Okay. In Europe, in Israel, we're called Ebenezer or Ebenezer.
Okay.
So, it being an emergency fund, we also did international humanitarian aid for Jews and Christians. Mm-hmm. We went to churches, we went to synagogues, and the plight of the Jews fleeing Russia and also Ukraine, Armenia, Kazakhstan, at that time, the former Soviet Union, the walls of communism had fallen. Chernobyl had already happened. So they were able to get in originally as an international humanitarian agency. So they were registered in Russia and Ukraine, the former Soviet Union, to do that. And they were also registered to take refuge. They called the Jews at that time, we called them returnees, or olim is the Hebrew word. They called them refugees. So we were legally to do that.
Okay.
Russia was not like it is now. It's turned. It was, you know, open to the gospel. A lot of gospel missions had been in there. And so they needed a lot of humanitarian aid. But we also helped Christians there too with the humanitarian aid.
Okay. So were you ever in any kind of danger when y'all were trying to rescue?
Yes. A little bit. Yeah. We were followed by what had been me and I was in a part of Russia called Bratsk. It means City of the Brothers. And we had some of the agents that had, they were no longer KGB. They had changed their name, but they followed us. Mm-hmm. That was the most danger I personally had.
So the KGB followed you?
They were the former KGB.
Former, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right,
When they saw us going to this old Russian Jewish lady's apartment, and there weren't even any bare bones to the walls. Mm. She had on a tattered coat, and she had been a widow for like 40 years, and she was alone. Mm. They saw us taking her humanitarian aid. It was a food box we took.
Yeah.
A brother in the Baptist church in that city said, I know the people that were following you, and when they saw what you did, they realized that you were not doing anything illegal, that you were really doing what you said you were supposed to do.
Okay. That's good. Now, how do, y'all, if you have a question, y'all just jump in. How do y'all decide who you're going to take from?
We don't decide.
Okay.
We work alongside the Jewish Agency, which is the official agency of the State of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they send consuls or councils all over the world. And we would help them by, in the old days, you had to have glue and a fax machine and scissors and paper. And Israel would send these councils. They might come from New York. They might come from Europe, wherever. They might come from Israel, and they would set up, and they decided who goes to Israel.
Right.
The Jews have to prove they're Jewish.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, that part of the world, they had what they call the Nova Metriki, which means the newer papers. They didn't accept, at that time, they didn't accept those. It had to be before a certain year. But they also, at that time, would accept a picture of a Jewish grave. Jews that gave affidavits, this person's a Jew, and the law of return, according to the State of Israel, you have to have at least one grandparent that's fully Jewish that you can prove.
Okay.
And so they decide, so when the Jewish people go, all we did was help with the setup, the supplies. Now, other parts of the world, they do it all on their own.
Right.
But the Jewish Agency Council from the State of Israel looks at their papers, talks to them, interviews them, and if they're Jewish, then they approve them and say they can go. They usually put it used to be a menorah stamp on their passport.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know what it is now.
Wow. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, you know, we know that Isaiah 11 says that God promises to gather the nation of Israel back together like he did before. And, you know, we know that God told Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you.
Right.
We love Israel.
Yes.
And that's why we're here today. We pray for Israel, like our t-shirts are saying here, but we pray for Israel. We give to Israel, and we, you know, that's just something that we love to do. Just, you know, we even take trips and pilgrimages to Israel. We've taken four. We're planning a fifth, or had planned a fifth until the October 7th war took place. And then that's sort of postponed right now. But, you know, just a question that I have is, how many American Jews really are coming out right now? Is there a lot of American Jews that are coming and wanting to go back?
It really increased after 9/11.
Yeah.
And the Aliyah, or the return of the Jews, Aliyah, it comes from the Hebrew word Aliyah, Ali. It means to arise and go up to Jerusalem. But in the modern time, it means to the return to Israel. So the modern return to Israel, it comes in waves. There were pogroms in Russia back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. That was waves of immigrants. There have been Jews in Israel, contrary to what some people say, for thousands of years. There's always been a Jewish presence there.
Right. That's right.
And the Lord says he gives it to them. It's in the Psalms. The Lord says he gives it to them for a thousand generations.
Yes.
That's an immeasurable amount of time.
Right.
The Lord is covenant with Israel. So the Aliyah, the return of the Jews, we're doing this based on Scripture.
Right.
Okay. I personally don't want to see Jewish people have to flee America.
Yeah.
Jewish people have been good for America.
That's right.
Even during our revolution, Haim Solomon, he gave money.
Yeah.
Even during the Civil War, there were Jews on both sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There have been Jews in our national government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And even now.
Yeah.
So the Jewish people have been good to our nation. But I believe one of the redemptive purposes for the United States. I know we're a missionary nation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We send more. We at one time the United States sent out more missionaries to the world.
Mm-hmm.
To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in any other nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But also, another redemptive purpose of the United States was to be a refuge for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the seasons of God change. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you had told me right after October, a year and a month ago, almost a year and a month ago, that we would have all the anti-Semitism in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I will read this scripture to you that, and then I'll come back around to what you're asking. We've seen an increase in Jews going back, but I'm going to read this. It's in the book of Jeremiah, and I'm going to start into verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. That was the first Aliyah,
right.
The Passover,
mm-hmm.
the Jews exiting.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. Okay? So the Lord says it's going to be a time where you're not going to talk about that. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north.
Mm-hmm.
Moscow is directly north. Russia is directly north. And from all the lands. Jeremiah 14. Now we're in 15. From all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. Okay. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord. That's what Christians that help the Jews go home are.
Yeah.
You're a type of fisherman. and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're seeing now
mm-hmm.
here in the United States.
Right.
Now, there's many places, many different peoples here in the United States that still love the Jews, or at least tolerate them. But we're seeing these hunters coming forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. Okay? So we're seeing that in the United States. It is increasing. Just about a month or so ago, there were a great number of Jews that left from the United States. Our group had a help in some of those. I don't know how many. I haven't seen the figures. And there's other groups that help. And God bless them. They're awesome. But most of the people that are going back now from the United States, you'll have some grandparents and things that will go, but a lot of them are the young religious Jewish couples and their children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot of the single people, and they go to Israel. They not all of them, but some of them will be in the Lone Soldier program with IDF.
Mm-hmm.
But that we believe. We don't know the timing, but we believe there will be a greater Aliyah, even here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that is based on this scripture. I will read it to you. Out of Isaiah 43, starting verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Okay? We know Christians can use these scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is for the Jews also.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. We did have, when I was in Russia the second time I was there, we did have, well, we had to drive through fires to get to where the Jews were.
Wow.
Because there's woods, and there were great storms of fire in Russia. Mm-hmm. That was back in 2003. Mm-hmm. It was the last time I was in Russia. And the roads would be the only thing that wasn't on fire. Wow. Fire here, fire here. So we took this scripture very literally.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you.
Yes.
Yeah.
For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. You know, we use that scripture, you're the head and not the tail, right?
Yeah.
And rightfully
yeah.
so, we're the head yeah. and not the tail, because
yes.
we're servants of the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Amen.
But that is also for the Jews.
Yes.
They're to be the head of the nations, even though they were the least of the nations.
Right.
They were the fewest. It said God circled around them as an eagle,
mm-hmm.
beholding them, even though they were the fewest of the nations. And even the boundaries of the nations are set according to the tribes of Israel,
mm-hmm.
according to the number of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You are precious in my sight. You've been honored. I've loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer to your question.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the timings of God, because the United States has been such a wonderful refuge for the Jews, I wouldn't say all of the church overall is in favor of Israel, but a lot of it is.
Yeah.
Many, many, many parts of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the United States do love Israel like this church does.
Yeah.
But some don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed you. I have made him. Okay? So he's bringing all the descendants from the east and from the west.
Yes.
Okay. Let me do this last one. Okay. This will really cement an answer to your question. Let me find it. When we went out to the Jews, they called it fishing. And many times the Holy Spirit would have to show us who were Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. And at that time in Russia, in Ukraine, there was some kind of physical signs, but the Holy Spirit would show us. Mm-hmm. And you could say, well, it's like the time of the Nazis and all this and that. And a lot of them were Holocaust survivors or were related to Holocaust survivors. But the thing that would really speak is just right from the book. Right from the scroll of the book.
Right.
Okay. Whether the Jews were secular or they were believed in God, and a lot of the Jews in Russia and Ukraine and the former Soviet Union were not allowed to practice even Judaism. They were not allowed to worship the Lord in any way or worship the God because of communism.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned this scripture to you when I was here Sunday night. It's in Hosea 11, verse 10. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west.
Mm.
Wow. So we believe that the Lord is roaring now.
Right.
Yes.
Even to the American Jews,
mm-hmm,
who have had it good here,
yeah,
who have been prosperous, who have a blessed people overall. I'm not saying that every Jewish person is rich, but they help each other.
Yeah.
They're blessed people.
That's right.
You know, some of them, you know, just like anybody else, you have good people, bad people, but a lot of Jews have really been a blessing here.
Yes.
But God says they're going to come trembling from the west. Mm-hmm.
So, Connie, you had a question for Dina.
Yeah, when you are working to get the Jewish people back to where they need to be, how do they perceive you? I mean, do they know that you're of God? I mean, do they know?
That you're a believer.
Yeah.
Born again.
We tell them we're Christians.
Okay.
They knew we were Christians, and it did have a great impact. People, we had Christians from many different nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's a range of opinions, a range of emotions and feelings. There was a lot of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, we would have to pray that sometimes they wouldn't even open the door.
Okay.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We would pray, open up your gates that the King of Glory may come in.
Oh, wow.
The King of Glory, yes. Strong, yes, and mighty.
Yes. Yes.
Many times the Lord would, we would pray and we don't force them to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We gave them the humanitarian aid whether they wanted to go or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we would ask them, we have to have translators.
Mm-hmm.
My Russian was pitiful, and even when I did speak it by accent, southern accent, what is that, you know? So we had translators, and they'd always ask them if we could speak to them.
Right.
Using the Old Testament scriptures,
mm-hmm,
some of these ones I'm sharing with you.
Now, Dina, since that horrific attack on October 7th,
mm-hmm,
do you still have an influx of Jews wanting to still go home?
Yes, we just did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dina, am I correct in saying that a lot of them are going home and joining back into the army?
Yeah, that's the...
Wow.
Some of them from the United States.
Yes.
Specifically, you will have some of these single ones that don't have families. It's called Lone Soldier Program.
Yes.
That's with the State of Israel and the IDF. And then you've had some that have gone back to being the IDF.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I watch, Daystar is a huge supporter.
Exactly, yeah, they are.
And I've watched and learned a lot mm-hmm. from watching their programs on Israel. You know, one of her daughters is married to a Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
And they even show the festivals when they're practicing the festivals on there. I've learned a lot from watching them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I think that shocked me the most is people's view of what happened on October the 7th. Mm-hmm. Because you would not believe the people that I have talked to that I'm having to defend their right and reason for defending themselves after all this took place. Yeah. Now, Joni Lamb was invited to view the videos mm-hmm. that Hamas had taken because they're proud of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took videos like they're celebrating these things that they had done.
Yeah.
And some of them were so horrific that she
couldn't watch them. Mm-hmm. I could not watch them.
She wouldn't watch them. They told her, Jimmy Evans,
you know
who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Evans told her, he said, it was the ones on the babies.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't want to watch this.
No.
Because it was that horrific. And even in light of all of this, my point being, is people still want to raise up and say they have no right to defend themselves. Yeah. That would be like someone coming to your home and you not defending your family. Who would not defend themselves?
That's right.
And God gave Israel the land that they have.
Yeah, that's right.
The land will forever be Israel's.
Yes. That's right.
Nothing anybody deciding, any government head deciding whatever they want will not change the fact that God gave this land to the Israelis.
Amen.
Now, there are born again Jews and then there are Jews that are not born again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like I was explaining to someone the other day. You know, they talk about some of the things that their government stands for. Well, and you can turn it right around and say, look at some of the things our government stands for.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
There are people on both sides mm-hmm. that you have to look at. But the bottom line is, Israel belongs to God's people.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can do to change that. And he commanded us.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
I'll bless those who bless.
That word pray is a strong, you know this in the Hebrew, it's a strong word. It's kind of like when the Apostle Paul said, I charge you.
That's right.
It's like a command.
That's right.
But I was going to read the scripture that'll tie into what you were saying. It's out of Psalm 105. Okay. Starting in verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever.
Mm-hmm.
The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham. His oath to Isaac. And confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel as an everlasting covenant. Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Now, he just said up there, what, an everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is one thing about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's a God of covenant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. When they were few in number, and indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm.
Yeah.
So that everlasting covenant. And then in Deuteronomy 30, okay, we'll just start in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And that's one thing he always told the Jews. Disobedience, sin, idolatry. He said they would lose their inheritance. They'd be driven from land. But just like with us, he keeps covenant.
Amen.
We can mess up, but he's kept covenant with us.
Right. Yeah.
He gets us back on track.
That's right.
Talking Southern, he gets us back on track. We're still with him. He doesn't, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He doesn't abandon us. So he says, where the Lord your God drives you. Then he says, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. According to all I command you. You know, in the new covenant, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's right. Commandments.
Okay? You do all I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. Anytime where it says they're returning from captivity, he brings them back from captivity, that is where they were scattered. Okay? I will have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He shall prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies, on those who hate you and who persecuted you. So, in Isaiah 60, and if I can tell us a testimony,
yes.
It's a powerful story about a little widow woman that God used. We were in Ukraine, and there's a place in Ukraine. It was all the Western volunteers from the Operation Exodus, and we were in the port of Odessa. That's when the ship sailed, and the Jews, we'd have like 400 to 500 Jews on each sailing, and it would sail from the port of Odessa, the Black Sea, that's the port in Ukraine, through the Bosporus Straits. You had Constantinople on one side, Istanbul on the other, sail through there, come around the Isles of Patmos and the Grecian Isles, and to Haifa, Israel. It was a 3.5-day journey. Okay? The Jews could take, at that time, I can't remember what it was in tonnage, but it was like 1,000 pounds of their belongings with them, and there were big holes up under the ship. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord says also in Isaiah they can take their silver and their gold with them.
Yeah.
So we're in Odessa and we're being trained. And they took us to Baba Yar. Baba Yar is the place outside of Odessa where the Ukrainian sympathizers of the Nazis and the Nazis I don't know how many thousands of Jews, they shot them and threw them in this big pit at Baba Yar. It was during World War II. There's a memorial there. And this was back in 1995. And there was a lady there. I remember her. She was a widow, way up in age. And she was called the guardian of Baba Yar. She was a little Jewish woman. And her name was Clara Vinuker. She was quite old at the time, and the state of Israel had named her the guardian of Baba Yar. She was one of the ones that had been thrown into the pit. Her whole family perished except for her. She laid still. They thought she was dead. All these years later, she was the one that took us there and spoke of these things.
Wow.
There was a German man that was on our team. I'll never forget him. I'm probably not saying his name right, but it was Uli Schrei. He was over our office in Germany. This was way back in 1995. And had relatives that were Nazis. But he had gloriously come to Christ, been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And she's talking about these things. And he literally fulfilled this scripture, which I'm going to read. It's in Isaiah 60, verse 14. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you. All those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Claire Vanooker was speaking, and it was very cold. And he literally, the Holy Spirit got on Uli Shrine. He literally fulfilled the scripture. There was a lot of mud there. And all of a sudden, the rain started coming down like sleet, and it was cold, and it was dark. And she's telling us these horrible things that happened to her and her family. Holy Spirit gets on him. He slides across the mud and bows down at her feet and asks her to forgive him and his relatives and ancestors for being Nazis. Wow. And he wasn't a Nazi, but his relatives have been
right.
Nazis.
Yeah.
And she looked at him. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget this. She looked at him, and she looked at us, and she said, I will forgive him, not because of what he says. She turned around and looked at all of us volunteers. I'll forgive him because of what you do. And then she started talking about how the return of the Jews was holy.
Wow.
And that is in Ezekiel 36. Okay, if it will start at verse 32 of Ezekiel 36. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. And this goes back to Connie's question. A lot of the Jews, we'd ask them, why do you want to go back to Israel? And they'd say a plethora of reasons. A lot of them was for their grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them for the economy. Because you know, Israel was not at a war at that time. You have a few that would say, oh, it's our land, but very few. We would always read this to them. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord. Let it be known to you and be ashamed and confounded by your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. Well, that's happened, right?
Yeah.
A lot of ruins in the land, the Holy Land being rebuilt. Yeah. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Wow. That happened in 1948, right? Starting to happen.
Yeah.
Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their members like a flock. So he allowed the Jews to be scattered. He took them from all the nations. He's brought them into Israel, but it's for the sake of his holy name. Okay? Operation Exodus really believes that Gentile Christians, which we believe that means from the nations, not Gentile as in pagan. We're not pagan. We believe in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We believe that the work of the return of the Jews is holy unto the Lord. And just like God tells us that Israel is the apple of his eye.
Yes.
You don't poke your finger into the eye of God. That's why a lot of these people that are attacking the Jews and all the horrible anti-Semitic things that are happening, that's why those people need to get saved, because they are in gross grave danger.
Yes. You know, I was listening to Sarah Huckabee. Y'all know who that is. And she was talking about being taken to a museum when she was a little girl. And it was a Holocaust museum. And she said she just began to cry. And she asked the same question I always did. She said, why did the world not help these people? And my daughter went to a museum, and there was a pile of shoes, Rochelle. There was a pile of shoes where they had marched the Jews to the gas chambers. And the pile of shoes, and she said on the very top of that pile was a little pair of baby shoes. And Sarah Huckabee asked the same question I have always said. Why did no one help them? And now we can ask the same question today. Why are people not helping them? And you know, Sarah Huckabee got into politics for this reason. There has to be someone who will stand up and say, we will do what God asks us to do. There has to be somebody that's willing to open their mouth. It's just like you, Dana. You know, I admire you. You have given your whole life to do what you do. Because this is going on 30 years that you have been serving the Jewish community. 30 That's years wonderful. Of her life.
Wonderful.
And you know, Rochelle said that pile of shoes with those baby shoes on top would forever stay in her mind. So what do people do, Dina, if they want to help Exodus?
Well, we're one of the groups that's helping the Jews go back, but our website is Operation Exodus USA. It's all one word, .org. That would be the place you can start. In the natural realm, to see what God would have you do. Now, there's other ways to help the Jews. Okay, I acknowledge that. Our group acknowledges that. But the current climate we're in here in the United States, they don't talk about it a lot. The anti-Semitism in the last so many years has dramatically risen.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We're not supposed to, our nation's not supposed to be like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be a Christian nation that's a refuge for Israel.
That's right. That's right.
Now, George Washington even wrote a letter. I remember, you know, we've heard about that letter. Wrote a letter to one of the Jewish groups in the United States at the time, and even quoted every man that sits under his vine in his fig tree. You know what I'm saying? So, our nation is supposed to be a refuge for Israel. And then the first step always is prayer, which I know y'all do here.
Yes.
And you got to ask the Lord, what does He want you to do?
That's right.
Years ago, just a tiny bit of my personal testimony. Years ago, I was living in Jacksonville, Alabama, and I said, Lord, what is your vision for my life? And it was the Jewish people. That came way before me playing the harp, way before my prophetic call. And you know, let's go to Romans 11. Let's talk to the church, okay? We're talking to the church people. Talking to good people that love God.
Amen.
Talking to people that, you know. And I'm all for all the battlefronts. You've got the God ministering to the world. You got God ministering to the church. You got God ministering to Israel. We're all for all that, okay? We're not saying this is the only thing God's doing in the earth.
Right.
But God wants His people, the bride of Christ, the bridegroom wants us to know what He's doing for Israel. Right? This is one of the things, the return of the Jews, he's doing for Israel.
Romans what?
11.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, and by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them." Mm. You know, the church is supposed to be provoking the Jews to jealousy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And they look a lot, they will listen to what you say, but they look a lot more at what you do.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Apostle Paul, he said in the book of Romans that you're talking about, he said, "My heart's desire, my prayer for Israel is that they might be saved."
Yes.
You know, that was the uttermost importance for the apostle. And we believe that Jesus Christ himself is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem.
Amen. I believe that.
Amen. Yeah.
And, you know, I teach and I preach, and when I talk about this subject, I will say, Israel is the center of the earth.
Right.
And Jerusalem is the center of the universe. It is where God probably stood when he created the heavens and the earth and around him. Mm-hmm. And so Jerusalem is so important. You know, if you want to know, if you want to get a barometer of what's going on in the world today, keep your eyes on Israel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Keep your eyes on Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the prize.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to divide Israel.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Divide Jerusalem.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's in Joel 3.
That's in Joel 3. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us that the nations of the world will flow to Jerusalem for instruction of the king.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
we know who the king is.
Yes.
So Jerusalem and Israel is so important.
Yeah. So where do you think we are, Pastor, according to what's going on now?
I think we're so close to the revival that Joel talked about in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's going to happen, and then immediately I believe there's going to be a rapture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's going to be a snatching away.
Yeah, I believe so too.
That's where we are.
You know, I was leaving the other day. I was leaving for work, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was backing out of my driveway, and I wasn't in the Word, I was in the Spirit. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, "There's something huge coming."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "The wind is blowing."
Yes.
He said, "There's a strong wind blowing, and there's something huge about to take place." And, you know, I've pondered on it. I thought, was it my personal life? I don't think so. I think this is worldwide, what is about to take place. Because whatever takes place in Jerusalem with the Jews is going to affect what takes place whole world.
Exactly.
And the last time I heard a prophet say, the Lord spoke to him and said something huge was about to take place, it was COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This something is on the horizon that is about to take place. And it may be like we talked about, it may be the election.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we all know we're in a this is the most crucial election
we have ever had.
I pray, because by the time you see this, the election will be over.
That's right.
But I pray that you all vote Jesus would have you vote.
Yes.
No Christian can vote for any candidate who does not stand for life.
Amen.
There's just no way.
Amen.
I had a person ask me, "Well, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Christian." There's no way.
No.
You can't stand for what they stand for and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't vote one way and stand in church and act another. You can't do it.
Right. That's right. You're right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Is there anything you
want to
add to it,
Dana? In John 11:52, now, this can be talking about God bringing back the people from the nations into salvation, but it could also mean the Aliyah, the return of the Jews, and I'll read it to you and you can decide.
Mm-hmm.
John 11:52, and it says that, I'll go back to 51. Now this he did not say in his own authority, that's Caiaphas, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Verse 52, and not for that nation also, or only, but also he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad.
Wow, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even in the New Covenant, the New Testament, which I believe it's all one book.
Oh, yeah.
Because in Psalm 40, it's talking about Jesus. Lovely right. The volume of the book it is right. Said of me.
Yes. Yes.
But I'd say prayer and the Lord leads you to investigate Operation Exodus. Mm-hmm. They have volunteer opportunities. They have, they send out intercessory. The office sends out electronically, digitally, and by snail mail, a newsletter that has the prayer requests on there. Mm-hmm. They have the testimonies of the American Jews that they're helping to go back. So that's a good start. And then, you know, I'm not sent here to get money. But as people investigate this, if the Lord leads people mm-hmm. to sow into this work, mm-hmm. The Jewish Agency works with our group. And our group, we don't decide who are Jews, who goes back. They've already decided that.
Yeah.
And then we help them with money and, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the young families and the money and help them to right. the expenses right. to get back.
Mm-hmm. We can put this in the comments.
Yes,
we can.
I have one more question.
Sure.
One more comment or question. You know, when the Jewish people, mm-hmm. when it gets in their heart to go back home,
mm-hmm.
and they go back, how is the Israeli mm-hmm. government responding
yes.
to them once
that.
They get
yes.
back there? How are they, you know, they've been displaced, but mm-hmm. how are they settling those people?
It's the absorption ministry of the state of Israel, the Jewish Agency, they have in their government for the return of the Jews.
So yeah. Did they provide them with a place to live, with a job? With
most of them, they want to connect them with that time with family, yeah. but they have places where they can go, and they have us. They subsidize them on certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, even household things to so many years,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they have Ulpan, which is their language classes. They try to help them with that. Yeah, the Herzog, who is the president of Israel, his father and he both served with the absorption in the Jewish Agency. So the government of Israel is very... We know Prime Minister Netanyahu speaks a lot from the scriptures mm-hmm. at times.
That's right.
And he understands about the return of the
yes.
Jewish people.
Yes.
He understands that it's in the Old Covenant or the Tanakh.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he's very prophetic
yeah.
in what he says.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
yes.
you're going to have any nation where people are coming in and maybe there'll be people who complain, but most Jewish people understand about these things.
Right, right.
Are they 100%? I couldn't tell you that, but, you know, legal immigrants that come here into the United States, we have, I'm talking about legal people,
mm-hmm.
we have some people that want that, some
right.
that don't, you
yeah.
know.
Right,
that's true.
But our government has set up for them to come in legally.
Yes.
So does
there
Israel.
There is a proper way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there mm-hmm. is. But you know whether you're Jewish or you're American, Italian,
mm-hmm.
Hispanic,
right.
whatever you are, there's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
Being mm-hmm. being a Jew does not get you to heaven.
That's right.
Being an American does not get you into heaven. There's one way.
One way. That's right.
Jesus
one
said,
that's right.
"I am the way,
that's
the
right.
truth, and the life. No
yes.
one comes to the Father except through me."
That's right.
You have to be born again,
that's
and
right.
that's one thing that Dana's organization and so many others do, is they enlighten the Jewish people
mm-hmm.
about Jesus, who
right.
Jesus is, and you know.
By doing, they have to see
doing.
What you do.
Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Because the history of the church worldwide, there's a dark part of it where the Inquisitions and the Jews were persecuted by the by church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now God is taking the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, turning that around to minister to the Jewish people.
Yes.
And some people have to what? See to believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's
right. They look at what you do.
That's right.
And there's, you know, you've probably seen a lot of these clips. Many of Benjamin Netanyahu himself, the prime minister, has said himself that Christians, talking about, they say evangelicals, kind of lump everybody together, mm-hmm. but the ones that love Israel are the best friends to the Jews.
Yeah.
They have to see that. Mm-hmm. They have to feel that. And yes, the Lord uses that in many ways to minister to them.
Can I just say this too, while you're saying that? When you step off the plane in Jerusalem and you're going there, whether it's a pilgrimage or whether it's just a vacation or a tour or whatever, when you step off the plane in Jerusalem and you take your first deep breath, you feel like, I'm at home.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm at
absolutely.
Home.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this has been good, Dana. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this with us.
Let me read this last bit of scripture, if that is okay.
Yes.
It's in Isaiah 49, starting in verse 5. And this, there's three major signs on who is the Messiah. Okay. One is he's Ben David, the son of David. And we know that's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The other is he's Ben Yosef, the suffering servant. Mm-hmm. We know that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
One of the other signs of who the Messiah is, guess what? This is according to biblical Judaism. The one that brings back the captives from the four corners of the earth.
Wow.
And in Isaiah 49, thus now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him.
Yeah.
The prophet Isaiah, when God was pouring this word through him, that is about Yeshua Jesus.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you shall be my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you go on down into Isaiah, and it says, verse 15, 49, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the sons of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me.
Yeah.
That's talking about the walls of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament, and bind them on you as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places, the land of your destruction, will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have, after you have lost the others, will say again in your ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me, since I have lost my children and am desolate? I have been a captive, wandering to and fro. Who has brought these up? There I was, left alone. But these, where were they? Now the Lord answers them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations, and set my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster mothers. Mm. Jesus is the King of Kings.
Yes.
We're
yes.
kings, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Kings will be your foster fathers, mm-hmm. and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Mm-hmm. You will know I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Isaiah 49:22 was the original, one of the original scriptures the Lord gave to my spiritual father, Gustav Scheller.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. About, and they're sitting there with a gas mask on, and he said to them, "Son, now you can begin helping my people to go home."
That's awesome.
Wow. So it's the word of God, the covenant of God, the mercies of God. If we don't understand that God keeps his word to the Jews,
yes.
we don't understand he can keep his word to us.
That's true.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Because God is an eternal God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's an everlasting. Anytime God has ever made a covenant with us, he has never forsook it.
That's right.
Then, as I said, I appreciate you coming today and sharing this with us.
Yes.
And the things that you've seen and been a part of is just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, as you stand and you listen to somebody that's dedicated their whole life to this.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
Yes.
Well, I don't know when we call it the Great Aliyah, and it's in Isaiah. He said, "A great shofar will be blown."
Mm-hmm.
And he says they'll come from Cush and Pathros and Elam and all these places. We don't know when that great wave of Aliyah is going to come, but we want to be ready here in the United States.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The United States, we are asking for the mercies of God, and we need the church to, Lord, what are we supposed to do to help the Jews go home?
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, Connie, you got a scripture for
I
us
do.
Today.
And it's Psalms 122, verse 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Yes.
Verse 7. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within their palaces.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, before my mother-in-law went home to be with the Lord, she was she sowed to Israel all the time. And she would always tell everybody, if you want peace and you want prosperity, sow into Israel.
That's the truth.
She taught me that years ago, and now she's home with Jesus now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we need not forget who God's chosen people
are.
Right.
And you know, as I said, yes, they still have to be born again just like anyone else. And if you know someone out there that is Jewish descent and they don't know Jesus, you need to tell them about our Jesus.
Yes,
Pastor Lisa sung a song this morning, and boy, she was throwing down.
Yes,
you realize you were preaching with that song?
Yeah,
I did.
Mm-hmm.
She was ministering with that song. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He can heal the sick. He can make a way when is no way.
Amen.
Let us tell you about our Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor, if you'll look in that camera, and anyone who's not been born again, if you'll lead them into that prayer, we'll repeat whatever you say.
Mm-hmm. You know, the question was asked a few minutes ago, where are we right now? This is the day of salvation.
Right.
Tomorrow may be too late.
That's right.
We're in the edge of time. We're right on the edge of the time when Jesus could just split the eastern skies. But we believe in like 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Yes.
I believe that is upon us right now.
Yes.
Revival is about to hit this land. God's going to get people ready to go.
Amen.
And then he's going to blow a trumpet, like Miss Dina said. Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. the people of God are going to leave here.
Yes.
The world will be in chaos.
Yes.
But Scripture will be fulfilled.
Yes.
We're in the last days.
Yes.
It's time
Amen.
To make time for the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you just say this prayer with me?
Yes.
And mean it in your heart.
Yes.
Confess with your mouth. Yes. Believe it in your heart. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Father God.
Father God,
we thank you for the blood of Jesus.
We thank you for the blood of Jesus.
That washes away all my sin. I thank you, Lord, that this day.
I thank you, Lord, that this day.
I receive Jesus.
As my Savior.
And my Lord.
My name is written.
In the Lamb's book of life.
Today.
I'm saved.
I'm born again.
I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God. Ooh, if amen. You did that, then you're no longer an outsider.
That's right.
You've just stepped into the family of God.
Yes,
an insider. Inside edition.
Inside. There you go.
Well, it's been a pleasure today. We've had a good time.
Yes.
I have.
Yes.
And you know, read our shirts. Pray for Israel.
Yes.
Pray for Israel. Pray for peace and protection for them.
Yes.
And you know, you'll be nothing but blessed from doing so.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, Mother, how do we go out of here?
We say, God is in me. God is for me, and God is with me.
Amen.
Amen. Well, until next time, you've been with Shady Grove Table Talk. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Yes.